Fisher speaking.
I have Mr. Weiss on now.
Thank you, one moment. Mr. Weiss, 090.
Oh, I'm kind of crippled up. I got a high fistat on my hands, and they give me a lot of hell, and your New York Times and Washington Post and St. Louis Post-Dispatch and all of them, all the Republican governors want to raise hell with me because the poll tax is repealed by a constitutional amendment, which I advocated for 20 years, but I voted against it by statute because I didn't think it's constitutional. And we got it repealed, but they don't want to have any credit for it. And then Goldwater says he got a television set, but it was a more miniature one than mine.
Goldwater also got some checks from some gamblers in Las Vegas. He better be careful. I don't let that worry you. Nobody takes that seriously, really. That's the biggest joke of all.
I don't understand, though, why the Times turns on me. So they gave me a mean editorial yesterday morning on retreating on foreign aid, and I asked for $400 million more than we got this year. And every morning there's some little, even when I do something good, they've got to find something wrong with it.
Yeah, well.
This morning I had some little chicken shit editorial. I've forgotten what it is.
Well, they call them the Uptown Daily Worker.
I don't understand, though.
No one understands them.
This morning it was on, it was on Panama. They said that if Johnson had been reasonable all the way through, it had been better. They want to give away the Panama Canal. I don't understand them.
They don't reflect the views of the people, though.
Well, they will if they keep publishing it for weeks.
I don't think so.
I had Johnny Oakes over there at that meeting after the UN, had a nice friendly talk. He brings his kids down here to see me. He runs that editorial page. I don't know what the hell he's after.
Well, I wouldn't take those things too seriously. I wouldn't ignore them, but I wouldn't take them seriously. The News had a fairly good editorial. Did you read it?
No.
They said that the hi-fi business is a joke compared. This fella had no business dealing with the government or with you. And Eisenhower got cows and tractors and everything else. They've been pretty good. I don't think anyone takes this seriously, really.
All right. Now tell me, how'd you and Ted get along?
We got along splendidly. Everything is all set.
Now, you make him and tell your owners, you make him understand now, please, to give me the first call when I need him for 2 days on a message to Congress that's real important, that he just got to do it even when he's writing that book.
That was the understanding we made with him, that you would have first call. Now, what he said about the book was this. He said he was going to shack up in some little cottage in Cape Cod for a few weeks to write that book. He said also that he didn't want the announcement made until toward the end of the year. We said that it would be impossible to hold back the news once the company presidents meet and agree upon it. However, we would be glad to say that no definite arrangement has been made and that we're hoping to get it.
Huh?
That was satisfactory. And we made it perfectly clear, Balaban and I did, that you were to have first call.
Well, if you ever have another chance.
He seems to be a nice man.
Oh, he's a wonderful man. He's one of the most.
I think he likes you.
He's the most wonderful, capable man you'll ever run into, except that he's a vain man, and he's got to be told by somebody. Now, I'm in this thing for just one reason. I know you'll do this other job. I know that the boss will help you do it. But you've got to be available to him when he calls you to be there in 30 minutes, and we want that understood. We want you to understand it so that he doesn't have any ideas, because he may get the big job, and then he just gets independent as hell.
No, that's the trouble, but what you put him in?
Did Cy Vance call you lately?
Yes, he did. He called me day before yesterday.
I just told him... I just gave him hell about three times, and I said, I call my daddy about every week myself. If I've got time to do it, you better have time to do it. He made you. And I don't want you to get so far away and so wise that you get more space sense than the old man.
Well, he called me. It was very nice.
He said he thought the world and all of you, and you had done everything for him, and it meant everything, and said, I should have done it, and I just don't know why I haven't. And I said, well, I don't know either, but I want you to call him. I want you to call him now, and I want you to call him. I don't give a damn how many Panamas you got on your hand. Every few weeks, it'll be good for you, and it'll be good for him, and you'll learn something every time you talk to him.
I talked with Walter about the Jersey situation. I called up Willens. He had it all cockeyed. Willens and the governor were delighted that you met Kenny. It was at their suggestion that Charlie Englehart had you meet him. They're thoroughly satisfied with Burkhart as the coordinator, and I don't know where Walter gets his information, but it's all cockeyed.
Soren Lord gives it to Jim Rowe, and Jim Rowe brings it in.
Soren Lord, they say, is a nice fellow, but he's a non-working chairman. They're going to keep him as happy as they can, but they say he doesn't amount to anything. But the organization is all for you. They understand. Miner understands his situation. He knows that he's in bad with the old-timers because he opposed the governor on a bond issue. But Miner understands it. The governor understands it. They have to hold him in reserve in case this fellow Pete Williams gets into a mess where they, you know, where they may have to use Miner.
Yeah.
Because he's still a popular fellow in the state. And they don't want to offend anyone.
Yeah.
But they're perfectly satisfied in every way, shape, or form.
Well, that's good. I had a talk with Buckley, and Buckley said he is 1,000% for him, and he was going to see you. This damn Paul Scott and Bob Allen wrote a column that said that Buckley tried to get a meeting with me up there in New York, and I wouldn't see him, and I went to a cocktail party given by a woman publisher, which was a lie. I haven't been to any cocktail party in New York at all. And I went to Stevenson's luncheon that he gave to you in. And went left and went right back to Washington right afterwards. But Buckley, they quoted Buckley as telling them that. So I talked to Buckley yesterday and showed him where Bob Allen said that he did it. He said he hadn't even talked to Bob Allen, didn't know Bob Allen, had never heard of Bob Allen.
Buckley's called me and wants to see me Monday, and I'm going to see him Monday.
Well, you just tell him that he can hitch to us just like a rock at Gibraltar, and he better see it, all of his folks are lined up.
Well, there are a lot of things we've got to do in New York. This Brooklyn, I don't want to disturb you with it, but the Brooklyn thing is bad, and it's up to Wagner, really, to do it.
Well, Brooklyn and Wagner at each other's throat, aren't they?
No, but Wagner and Brooklyn should not be at each other's throats.
Well, can't you get Wagner to see that?
Well, I don't know whether I'm the fellow to do it.
Who can do it?
You.
Well, what do I have to tell him? Get along with Brooklyn?
Well, Steingood is the leader. He was elected by 70% of the district leaders. He came up to see me. He doesn't want that situation to be to result in a dogfight. He's willing to become the leader of the House. That's the House in the state legislature. And give up the leadership. But he said that Wagner enjoys having trouble all over. He thrives on that. And if it isn't settled, you'll have some nasty primary fights there in June for district leaderships all through the county, which can result in leadership